Alrighty. I think, let's see here, what's going on? Testing, testing, 1, 2, 3. Sounds like we've got something going on here. Alrighty. Gonna turn down this music and get everything started. I think. I can't hear. Testing. Ah, there we go. All right, so we may have a little bit of something to cut out at the beginning of this story. Okie doke. Turn this down just a hair here. Oh, I see what the heck I did. All right. Still not okay. I'm gonna hope this records well because I'm not hearing the music at all, but I've got it turned down pretty low. We are back at Unrestrained Desires today with a continuing story of Fostering Fost. We have ended right at the beginning of chapter 12. And, there has been a commotion at the ball. I believe somebody has staged something where they were all getting rounded up by bandits. So, Alex, Carla, and Anna quickly melded into the group. Carla drifted behind him and glanced back, and a glance back revealed her standing directly on his heels. "Probably trying to watch my back," he thought. "Thanks, too. Need to make sure your collar is especially pretty." Apparently their timing had been pretty on point with deciding to join the crowd. Groups of men with swords and hoods stormed into each interview room, quickly pulling all the occupants out. Then there was some shouting from the middle of the hall. Everyone was looking in one direction, but no matter how he tried, Alex couldn't understand anything. The chatter and panic talk of so many people was simply overwhelming. "Goodness, is it a robbery? I don't think I've been robbed in a year or so," Anna said idly, patting his arm, snuggling in closer to his side. "This is a common occurrence for you?" Alex asked, somewhat surprised. "Daddy employs lots of guards. It usually turns out badly for the robbers, but they still try. I was kidnapped once. They kept a bag over my head. I think Daddy paid them, then tracked them all down and had them killed."
Her father is not someone to bother with, Alex thought to himself. Someone bumped in close to his right side and practically curled into him. Glancing down, he saw Holly's mask staring up at him. "Ah, I imagine she's as concerned as I am." Subtly as he could, he reached out and took her left hand in his right, then gave it a squeeze. She immediately latched onto his hand and just about broke it in her grip. Before he realized why or what was happening, everyone had seemed to filter out into rows.
"E-sack!"
shouted a voice from the side, heading their way. "Oh, it's a robbery. How exciting," Anna said, bouncing a little in place.
"I wonder if Daddy's guards will show up soon."
"I certainly hope so," Alex thought to himself. "But I think this might even beyond his budget." Two men were coming down the line of people towards them. One accepted items from the guests while the other simply held the sack open.
The items handed over were money, jewelry, and anything of value that could be quickly taken. Surprisingly, the man was inspecting each ring he was given, actually taking the time to look at the crests themselves. Damn, they are looking for me. While I regret losing a signet ring, I can always have another one made and report the other as lost. Walter will be annoyed, though. Any item you can't get rid of is a chain to weigh you down. Pardon me? And if I can't dump a ring that would tie me to my purse... And I can't dump a ring that would tie me to my persona. Well, I don't have anything else on me that identify me, thankfully. As subtly as he could, he lifted his hand with Holly's in it and pulled his signet ring off with the other. Holding it in his left hand, he moved his boot out a few inches, holding the ring in a way he hoped would allow it to roll away from him on a bounce. He let it go. Welcome, Lady Fantasy. Tumbling through the air, it hit almost perfectly in the way he wanted. Bouncing off the stiff leather of his boot, it made a soft plop and practically jumped away from him. It clacked as it hit the wood floor and rolled rapidly away from him. He watched it vanish between the feet of the people several rows in front of him. Holly had noticed, of course, but said nothing, unsurprisingly, since he'd had to move her hand. Okie dokie, let's see here. Anna was still blissfully unaware, cuddling away at his arm. When the men collecting their spoils got closer, Alex released Holly's hand just in case. Both men turned to Anna, their hoods shifting, to which she gave them a smile and a shrug. I'm sorry. I don't have anything on me today. My husband and I were simply attending to meet a second wife. Not a thing on me, said another shrug to shoulders. Both men's heads dipped down, probably looking down her dress, Alex figured, before moving on to Alex. Coffeed up then, sir, the first man said. Giving him the appellation with a sneer. As my wife stated, nothing on us but our clothes, Alex said, holding up his right hand and the lack of a signet ring. He wiggled it helplessly at the man. We left it all with the coachman. The man in the lead looked to Alex's hand as if to make sure there was no ring there, then finally moved on. Holly had nothing to offer up either, though the two seemed genuinely less interested in her. In fact, they were less interested in all the women. They really are here for me, he thought. Holly's hand slipped into his again and gripped it tightly. She stayed very close to him. Is she the second wife for me? Anna asked from his other side. The one who's a conquest? She seems nice, and I think she likes you. She'll be a good selection for us. Alex just couldn't keep pace with Anna anymore. Turning his head to her, he stared at her mask, wondering if she was a genius or an idiot. What's her name? She asked, her mask tilting to one side. Holly. Holly? She said, her mask still tilted. Holly Lynn. 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 I think Daddy does business with them. Or he used to. He said their coin dried up and he ended the contract, I think. She nodded her head once, then shrugged and looked ahead again. Huh. Might be able to use that to my advantage if... Wait. We're not marrying Anna. We're marrying Holly. Can't use that to my advantage, because having one would negate the other.
Looking straight ahead, Alex tried to get his mind back on track. He needed to focus on the task at hand. Getting out of this. The men with the sacks and loot were still working their way down the line in the other direction, eventually passing behind Alex and going through the next row as well. After a time, they returned to what Alex could only assume was the rest of their band. Where the rest of their band was.
Maybe.
He could hear muttering and two people arguing, but not much else.
Could they hurry this up a bit? Anna asked. I'd really rather spend time with you and our second wife. This is just annoying.
Is she real? There was a commotion in the center. Enough! A man shouted over everything else. All men step forward and come over here. And yes, we'll be going around to make sure everyone does this. You don't want to be the one guy hiding, okay?
Oh, don't make us kill you, someone shouted.
Yep,
there you go. Their intent is pretty clear at this point, I'd say.
Sighing, Alex extricated his hand from Holly's and his arm from Anna, then stepped forward. Taking a moment, he looked over his shoulder as he went. Anna had scooped up Holly's arm in her own and was now crushing her breasts in the same way she'd done to him. Carla was tailing him. Looking ahead, Alex slipped through the rows and made his way to where the voice had been yelling. Joining the group of men milling around near the center, Alex noticed the band of armed and hooded robbers. Each wore a sword at his side and carried a crossbow. Alex didn't like the odds of attempting to resist them physically, with them armed as such. That they have swords is already strange enough. Bladed weapons aren't allowed in the king's territory. Punishment by death. This isn't normal at all. Pressing into the mob a bit, Alex tried to lose himself in it. Carla joined him, moving right in front of him, practically standing on his feet. Her broad shoulders more than likely hid him from view.
Need to really buy you a great collar and some lovely clothes. An armored outfit as well. Huh. Doing your job incredibly well, too, he thought to himself.
Carla still had her mace, holding it like the cane it was disguised as. There was a scuffle somewhere in the crowd of women on the other side, followed by a hollow thud. Alex peeked around Carla to see what was going on. The two bagmen were dragging an unmoving guest between them. They unceremoniously dumped him onto the ground in front of the group of men.
All right, you lot. Off with the masks. And make a line. And you ladies, if you want out of this easy with yourselves, intact and no issues, I need you to point out Count Britt, said the man, walking out between the two groups. That'd be the group leader then, he thought.
It isn't every day we have a count we can hold for ransom, the man said, as if needing to clarify his reason for wanting Alex.
Uh-huh. Lapdog to the king. You just want to put me in a cell until my due date expires. Looks like I need to speed up my timeline after this and get married.
Stepping around Carla, he took up the position directly to her left.
I wonder what Carla will say when they see her face and realize she's not a man. With a sigh, he pulled off his mask and put on a different one. A merchant of Ulysses and husband to the lovely and simple Anna. She'd already given him an easy enough background to work with. He just needed to roll with it. There were only three bride candidates who knew him here. Anna was certain wouldn't say anything. Holly, he was reasonably sure of as well. The only problem was Eugenia. Though he didn't think she'd be stupid enough to bet her oath to Leia wasn't real, or firm enough to take her life and soul. Looking to his sides, Alex waited as all the men lined up in either direction. All right, ladies. Who here can spot Count Alex Britt? Count of Britt, the ringleader said, pacing back and forth. Then he stopped over the unmoving man and flipped him over, pulling the mask off his face. Wincing, he drew back. The man's head was clearly cracked open. He'd not be waking up again. Maybe I can use that to my advantage later. Somehow stage it that the dead man is Alex. That'd probably ruffle them up, accidentally killing the target, wouldn't it? An entire minute ticked by, and the situation hadn't changed. The men stared at the masked women, and the masked women stared back at the men. I sure to high hell hope no one recognizes me. That'd be all I need. Fine. I'm going to pick a number of you young ladies out of the crowd, and we're going to have a party with them. Real quick. Right here in the center. Then you can all figure out if you know the Count or not. I know him, shouted a female voice. A recognizable voice. Eugenia's. The woman stepped out of the crowd and marched up towards the man, who was clearly the leader. I know Alex, Eugenia said. He's a pig of a man who propositioned me. Turning her head, she started to scan the line of men and stopped when she saw Alex. Looking back to the brigand, she started to lift her arm, then frowned. Her head dipped down as if she were suddenly winded. Her arm pointed halfway between the floor and Alex. That's him. There, she said through clenched teeth. Apparently, she was very determined to point him out. Except she fell over backwards, her head cracking into the ground, and the resounding pop was audible to everyone. She lay still and unmoving, her arm still pointing to the dead man she'd been pointing at the entire time. Aw, shit. We killed him, shouted a hooded man. What do you mean, we? You did, shouted a second. I didn't do shit. You're the one that whacked him with your pommel. Oh my God, is that really Count Britt? Alex shouted, pointing at the dead man. You killed a count? Now everyone was riled up. The shouts and cries from both sides of the room threatening to turn into an uproar. A member of the peerage getting killed was news indeed. It would normally meet with grinding bones on the part of the king and his guards. Not fair to make me shiver, sir. Even if it was a member who had fallen out of the peerage, the royal family always met a death of one with hundreds.
God damn you! Shouted one of the robbers, who stabbed a second.
A third bandit stabbed the first, and a fourth jumped on the second. Then all hell broke loose. A number of the men rushed towards the bandits, apparently seeing their chance, as the bandits began to fall on one another. Carla grabbed him by the hand and charged forward into the group of women, scooping up their masks as she went. She stuffed his into his hand and pulled hers down over her face. He wasn't sure where she was going, but he wasn't about to doubt her. Her dedication to him had been unquestionable so far. As they whipped through the lines of women's, he suddenly found Holly and Anna in front of them. Carla corralled them like a sheepdog and guided them back towards the interview rooms. In all the confusion and people rushing back and forth, Alex wasn't really sure what was going on anymore. Almost as if they were breaking free of a fog, they slipped through the women and popped out into the open. A man with a sword stood a foot away, seemingly unsure what to do with himself. Not wasting any time, Carla released Alex's hand and jogged up to the man with the sword. She didn't hesitate, immediately clubbing him in the temple with her mace. As the man stumbled to one side, she slammed her weapon down onto the top of his head. With a wet thunk, his eyes bulged out of his skull, and he hit the ground. Carla wound back her arm and smashed the back of the man's head with a third blow. Grabbing the sword, the crossbow, and the quiver of quarrels, she pointed to the closest interview room. Alex got the hint and herded Anna and Holly there. Holly opened the door, and everyone rushed in. The three of them didn't stop till they got to the back wall of the room, where Alex turned to ask Carla what the plan was. She was busily moving a cabinet in front of the door, followed by a desk, then a chair. She physically hurled atop the rest. "Don't be a bunch of ninnies. Push every goddamn thing in front of the door," she growled at them. Alex, Holly, and Anna immediately got to work, moving every single item in the room over to the door. "Fuck them and their plans," Carla muttered, staring at the barricade. "They can sit out there and rob until Rudolph and the guards show up. Stupid asses." "If this had been my outfit, none of this shit would have happened." "No, because they're dead, remember? And you're not her anymore. You're my too," Alex said, pitching his voice low for her ear alone. "And you're damned impressive, too. Damned impressive. You did wonderfully." He reached over and patted her shoulder, making sure to lightly caress her back as he did so. "Thanks," Carla mumbled, obviously unsure how to take that. "So what's our plan?" Alex asked.
"No plan. We sit and we wait, just like I said. Though I think you should finish up your marriage hunt tonight."
"Yeah, I would tend to agree."
Carla turned and looked at the two women.
"Get some sleep. You might need to take a watch at some point. No telling how long we'll be here. And you, take this."
Holding out the sword to Alex, she waited. "You're likely to be...
You are likely to be forgiven for holding a bladed weapon in your defense. I wouldn't be. Just stab it through the door at anyone who tries to come through. Nothing terribly hard. Alex nodded his head and stepped up to the barricade. He figured he could probably get a good stab in from here. What are you going to do? He asked, looking back at Carla.
Sleep, right here next to you. I need a nap. Adrenaline is wearing off.
Saying nothing more, Carla lay down, practically at his feet, and almost immediately snoring. Looking back to the door, Alex had a weird feeling in the pit of his stomach. He wondered if he'd ever really get used to this world.
Probably not, but then again, where else could I literally indenture people with oaths sworn on gods?
That was different, said an echoing voice from his side. Alex jumped and swung the sword around, pointing it at the voice. Sitting on the desk they'd moved into the barricade was the wraith.
Jumpy, it hissed.
A bit. I thought you weren't coming back.
You said you weren't, Alex said.
I lied, I guess. I do that, said Leia, flippantly. Don't worry. They're out cold. I added a little something to them to make sure of it. I just wanted to stop by for a chat real quick.
Kind of the wrong time for that, isn't it? I mean, it doesn't sound like this is over out there. I swore I heard people shouting and fighting.
You did. It's the King's Guard. Apparently someone got out and spread the word that the Count of Brit had been slain. City is in a bit of an uproar, and everyone is questioning the guard's abilities.
Kind of funny.
Well, I think it's funny, Leia said. Now the king has a black eye over something he started. And yeah, you were right. They were here to keep you in place till the marriage hunt was over.
If she does, and she has claws, I'm going to yelp.
Let's hope she's got a soft touch.
Ah. Are you supposed to be able to tell me all this? This seems like something gods wouldn't be able to do in these situations.
Normally not. But you did such a good thing. You got me this, Leia said, and then held up her hands.
A blue, wraith-like Eugenia popped into being in the shadow's cupped palms. It was on its knees, looking to be brokenly sobbing. This is worth at least 4 months of contracts. It's a shame you'll only get half a month out of it, since the crystal was half full. But hey, them's the breaks, Leia said. Then she clapped her hands together, and the wraith vanished in a spurt. Her soul is quite tasty. I've already used her a bit, just to get the idea of where she sits on the whole morality scale. I plan on giving her to my husband. He never does anything with the captured souls I offer him, but he doesn't turn them down.
He knows I do it out of love, she said, her voice taking on a strange tone.
I see. All right, so I just need to wait it out here.
Then? Alex asked, unsure of himself.
I think so. We'll see. I can't imagine them breaking in here before the guard retakes the hall, at least.
So she's not omniscient.
There's no P in this word. They misspelled it.
Yeah, you're omniscient.
No, I'm not, Leia said, nodding her head at him.
But you can still read my mind.
I sure can.
Great.
Oh, and because that soul will probably make my husband pay attention to me, I'll probably be gone for a while, but who knows?
I personally hope it's a long while.
I personally hope it's a long while. He does tend to get mad at me when I do stuff like this, and punishes me. So, I'll be occupied. I owe you a favor for this. You'll have till tomorrow to decide on what you want.
Got it. I'll think on that, Alex said. Then he shook his head. Wait. How did you get her soul? It looked like she had a heart attack or something and cracked her head open. Was that you?
Yes. She was in the act of betraying you. I could see her thoughts and the course of her action. I just took her soul at the right time and can't exactly intervene to help you, you know, but I can take my contracts as I please. Then her head whipped to one side.
Lovely, she cried, her voice
uncharacteristically ecstatic and bright. It felt like reality itself had split her at a single word. Then she vanished as if she'd never been there. Alex hung his head with a sigh and stared at his boots.
This is all so fucked up.
Chapter 13. Eventually, someone came to check the interview rooms. Alex was feeling feisty and paranoid. He didn't trust the people claiming to be Royal Guard, even if it was them, and refused to remove the barricade. He'd told them directly who he was, and that the barricade would only be pulled down if his own personal guard showed up. They'd been resistant so far to his demands. It was a pity for them that Alex simply refused to budge. He imagined the panic and confusion would only get worse outside, and the crowd outside the hall would probably form, and knowing Rudolph, he would probably raise holy hell for everyone involved. That wasn't even including if Walter showed up. No, Alex could afford to wait. They were safe. They were secure.
My lord? Rudolph called from the door, breaking through his thoughts.
Ah, Rudolph! Thank goodness! Do you have everyone with you?
Alex called to the door.
I don't, sir. They forbade it. They're saying that you won't come out until you speak with me.
Rudolph said, his voice taking on a strange quality. I'm not going anywhere with them. If they can't even guard a hall at a well-known ball for a count, I'll not trust them with my life. They can all go back to the king. I'll wait here until they're gone and you've secured the hall.
The silence on the other side of the door was deafening.
Sir, is that it? You would rather your house guard take you to the king?
No, I'd rather my house guard take me home. Oh, I also have Anna Yulies and Holly Lynn with me. I imagine their fathers or relatives might be out there trying to find them. It might behoove you to let them know we have them secured. Again a pause. He's talking to a guard captain, I bet. Probably now, realizing I'm not kidding around. I'll be right back with our guard, sir. The Royal Guard will be leaving now and turning it over to our people. I have your permission to invite Master Ulies inside? Of course, said Alex. Then yes, he is out there and causing a problem. Good. Though it's concerning, there is nothing for Holly. Looking back towards Holly, he met her eyes. Are you alone in the city right now? He asked directly.
Only servants. Father will be back tomorrow. He needed a contract updated for my possible marriage to you.
Holly said. Ah, I do wonder at that phrasing. Did she attempt to court others? I apologize if this ruins your chances at other balls tonight. I do realize I wasn't the only one on the books, Alex said, curious to see if she'd admit to seeing other interviews.
I wasn't attending any other balls. Father was updating the contract because marriage to a count would require a different wording in the terms. Father wouldn't want the possibility of his titles passing to our children if we had them.
Oh, I guess. Yeah, that makes sense. And Anna, in Anna's case, it doesn't matter. She doesn't have titles. Nodding his head, Alex settled in to wait. Carla laid her head back down and closed her eyes while Anna and Holly resumed whatever conversation they'd been having. Master Yulies hadn't accompanied them. Okay, we're starting another little spot here. Master Yulies hadn't accompanied them to his mansion the previous night. To be honest, Alex hadn't thought about it at the time. He'd gone to his room and passed out, leaving Anna and Holly to Walter to take care of. It wasn't until the next morning when Walter handed him a letter from the master merchant that he realized Alex had possibly been incredibly rude. He hadn't even checked to see if the man had followed them. Not to mention, he wasn't quite sure what to say to the man. His daughter was unique, to say the least. Dodged that one, I guess. Setting the letter down, Alex leaned his head back and looked up at the ceiling above him.
Sounds like Daddy,
Anna said, getting his attention. Snapping his head down, he found her sitting in a chair across from him at the dining table.
He's willing to make sure I'm all right, but he has other business to take care of, Anna continued,
reading the letter between them. Just like that? Alex asked. He wasn't actually complaining. There'd been a few times in his previous life when he'd done exactly the same thing.
Oh, yes. Daddy's just like that. It's a good thing. Did you sleep well? Walter said it wouldn't be right for either of us to sleep near your room until we were lawfully wed, Anna said. Personally, I don't care, because it's only an unsigned paper in the way at this point.
Only then did he realize she was in the same dress as the previous day, and that Holly had joined them as well, but was busy with something at the side table. Ah, yes, that'd be inappropriate, Alex agreed. Walter is a stickler for rules, but ones I agree with and very much appreciate in this case. Your father won't be upset that you didn't come home, Anna? Or you, Holly? Alex hoped to draw the other woman into the conversation. Anna had a tendency to draw him into her own play.
into her own pace and run him over.
Daddy won't mind. I already told him we'd have our marriage contract today, she said hopefully.
Holly paused, then turned her head to the side, her eyes catching his own.
Father would not be happy, but he also wouldn't be upset since you were the only man I was interviewing with at this time. He would have viewed it as a chance to get to know you. To get to know one another more, she said.
Had you been interviewing others? Anna asked, her head turning towards Holly as well. Oh, excuse me. No? Anna's asking. Sorry.
I got confused there for a moment. Originally, though they were all merchants, none were willing to meet us outside of a formal acceptance of intention. I think most are aware of our financial status.
Holly came over to the table with a silver tea set in her hand, setting down a tea setting for Alex, then Anna, and finally herself. Holly sat down next to the other woman.
I think I've met with every man in the entire capital, Anna said, her mouth turning down in a frown. None of them were very nice, and I didn't feel like any of them would be right for me. Then I met you, Alex.
One could certainly never forget meeting you, Anna. That's to put it mildly for my own part, he thought to himself.
This is lovely, thank you, Anna said, turning her head to Holly after taking a sip.
Thank you, Holly said, smiling shyly at Anna. I wonder what they were talking about last night. Or hell, even after we got back, they've been together since the whole thing started.
Where's your personal servant? Your personal bed servant? Anna said, looking around.
What? Alex asked. Oh, you mean two. I think it's her day off today. I don't keep track of her when she goes out.
So you did give her a permanent day off? That's good. Does she still sleep with you for it? Anna asked, her tone innocent and plain.
Yes. But she gets 2 days off, Alex said, not quite sure what to make of where this conversation was going.
Good. Do you plan on turning the other slaves into bodyguards as well? Anna asked, adding another sugar cube to her tea and giving the liquid a swirl with her spoon.
No, they don't. Alex paused, looking to Holly, who was watching him with no expression. Finally, he looked back to Anna. Did they talk about it already? She's not surprised or concerned.
They don't have the right skill set for it, as bodyguards, that is.
That makes sense. Daddy is always saying you can't use a hammer as your tool every time. Sometimes you need a knife, she said, nodding her head with a smile. I take it they'll be serving in your bed then? I wonder if we should work out a rotation early on so there's no confusion later.
Oh, I already informed Master Walter that your bed would be your own and Holly and I would share one. Oh, excuse me.
Whoa.
Whoa, she's presumptuous.
Oh, I already informed Master Walter that your bed would be your own, and Holly and I would share one for now. It'd be best that way, so you won't have to worry about taking your slaves to our bed, and worrying we'll be there.
Anna gave him a bright smile and took another polite sip of her tea.
Serving in my bed? Wait. You what to Walter? he thought to himself. That is, Alex said, wondering how to broach the subject, and then stopped. She said, share a bedroom? That means they're expecting to both marry me. I mean, that wouldn't be a terrible idea. Anna would be ideal for finances, and, well, as she herself said, an equal partner to a degree. Holly would be a tool, no matter which way I look at it. Huh. There was a sharp knock on the door to the dining room. Enter, Alex called, looking that way. Rudolph immediately stepped in, carrying what looked like a handful of dispatches. My lord, these arrived with the same courier. I'll wait outside for your replies, Rudolph said. A second man hurried in and set down an inkwell, letter opener, pound sand, a quill and a small writing tray, and some paper in front of Alex. Must be the king, he thought. Whew. Anna looked at the papers, then turned to Holly with a smile. I'll go first. Holly ducked her head to Anna, then took her tea setting with her and left the room without a word. Should I be concerned? Alex asked after having watched Holly leave. Picking up the letter opener, he slit open the envelope on top. After pulling the paper out, he read it over quickly. This is a marriage contract, Alex said, reading over the terms and qualifications. Yes, it's mine. Just go ahead and sign at the bottom. I already signed it and had it documented at the royal clerk's office. Anna said, leaning forward over the desk. She was practically spilling out of her dress as she indicated the location design and the seal. Holly's won't be here until later with her father. You'll need to write up a contract between the two of you before that. She gave him a wide smile when he looked up to her eyes instead of her cleavage, where he'd been looking without realizing. I also got a lot of information out of her we can use against her. She's such a silly thing. She told me everything. We'll have her family wrapped up and bound in no time at all. If you want them, that is, Anna said, still smiling at him, though I won't let you hurt her or give her to anyone else. She'll be your second and a tool, but I do like her. And will keep her for myself, if nothing else. Apparently, what happened was Anna had pumped the living hell out of Holly for information for Alex to use against her. With that easy smile and simple demeanor of Anna's, Holly probably hadn't even worried about it. It means Anna already figured out what I had planned for Holly. Even to the point of looking for information to hold against her, and bend her to the tool I want her to be, even if it were completely against her morals and desires. She also already figured out the game I'm playing. She could easily be useful to me with almost no need for explanation. Pardon me. Welcome, Bear. I hope you are well today. I do believe she is, sir. Quite the switch. For an idiot, she's a genius, Alex thought. Looking down at the contract, Alex confirmed what it was. The terms were straightforward and easy to read. The entire thing was set up as an equal marriage between a member of the peerage and a commoner. The only big caveat was her dowry was indeed 10,000 gold coins and Anna's alone. Anna retained very few rights in this agreement other than that, and was putting herself practically in his sole possession. Excuse me.
Thank you, Fantasy dear.
Anna had put herself practically in his sole possession. Even less than Holly would ask for. But that means it's just a straightforward marriage, isn't it? He thought. He realized Anna was offering him exactly what she'd said at the start. A wife, confidant, and partner. That she'd accepted everything he dished out at her. And worked to better it for themselves. He picked up the ink bottle, unscrewed the top, took the quill in hand and dipped it in, and signed his name on the line. He then spread a bit of pounce sand over his signature and set the contract down, only to have Anna practically smash her face into his with a wet, heavy kiss. Pulling back from him, she patted his cheek.
Thank you, husband. I knew we were meant to be from the moment I saw you. Oh, I meant to ask. Are you Leia's champion, or are we just working for her? She asked.
Working for her.
Any contract details I need to know?
It was obvious she was in full merchant's daughter mode now. I'll have to make sure I meet a quota every month. Otherwise, that's it.
That's easy enough. What's the quota?
Alex Pat paused at that. The crystal was in his room, and he didn't want to go fetch it. I have to make deals that favor us. The greater the deal, the better the favoring. The quicker the quota is met. I have a crystal that will turn completely black when it is met for the month.
And is the quota met right now?
Yes, we're clear for the month.
Good, good. Then let's hold off on finalizing Holly's contract, but sign the marriage agreement. Or at least date the contract so it goes into effect next month if you can't wait. That way we can bank on that one rather than waste resources.
Right? Anna asked, her fingers interlaced with each other.
Would that work? He wondered. A dated contract would go into effect under a god's oath on the date listed and be upheld from that point. That's a good point, wife, Alex said, actually feeling rather lucky to have signed Anna into his life. Smiling, he leaned toward her. She gave him a happy and bright smile, leaning forward as well.
Now, how about you tell me about Holly and what we can use against her? He said, then kissed her in earnest.
I do believe you're correct. We are right at an hour, and we are right at a good stopping place where it turns into a secondary point of interest, I guess is a good way to put it. Not to mention, I'm stuffed up to the point that I probably sound half like a frog. I don't know if I faded or if I actually stopped talking for a second. I thought so too, but anyway. Well, oh, she's pouting. Isn't that cute? You know, I wonder if I should start that other story I've been reading you and Kitten and actually record it when I read it to you so that Kitten can catch up. Because I've got another book I've been reading to him. That is actually really good. And we haven't gotten very far because we're trying to wait on our girl, Felina, to be able to hear with him. And it's just so juicy. It's really hard to wait.
It is.
But she just hasn't been around for a story. Alrighty. Well,